This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Owen Pallett is someone whose creativity can seem sort of unfathomable. The Canadian songwriter and musician has an incredibly impressive resume, which includes a Grammy win for work on the Arcade Fire album The Suburbs and an Oscar nomination for the score of the film Her. And then there's Owen's own award-winning music, which delves into disarmingly personal subject matter as well as fantasy. Owen's latest album, Island, was recorded at Abbey Road Studios, and it returns to a fantasy realm called Spectrum, a place first introduced in Owen's earlier albums, along with recurring characters named Lewis and Owen. Today, you'll hear Owen perform music from that new album, as well as songs from throughout their career live. And if the list of accomplishments wasn't enough to blow you away, just wait. What you're going to hear are solo performances. It's just Owen using effects and looping to create layers of sound. We'll start with a song from the new album, Island. This is Firemare, live for World Cafe. from their new album, Island. That was Owen Pallett performing the song Fire Mare exclusively for World Cafe. Owen, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Hi, Raina. It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's really nice to have you. This album came out in May when we were about 2 months into the pandemic. We're speaking now in October. How have you been spending your time?
kind of surviving. It's, you know, it's as with most people, you're kind of like trying to thrive, but oftentimes just trying to survive, I guess. Like, I've been doing production work for other artists. I've been putting together, you know, live videos, like for the best ways that I can muster to promote this album and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been a productive few months.
Are you allowed to tell us any of the other people you've been working on stuff for, or is that all secret right now?
Let me think. I did some work for the biggest male pop star in the world.
Ooh.
Try and guess who. You got three guesses.
Okay. The biggest male pop star in the world. Now, this is like, suddenly it's like, I can't think of a single male pop star.
He's the biggest.
Justin Bieber?
Bigger than that.
Okay, bigger than that. You have to tell me.
No, I can't. I'm contractually not allowed to.
Do you have a guess? Garth Brooks isn't the biggest. Sorry, I'm asking my boyfriend who's in the same condo as I'm in right now, 500 square feet, so he can hear every question. Gosh, okay, I'm going to think on that, and I'm going to come back, and I'll ask you
if I can think
of a guess.
The guess is still, you still have one more guess.
Okay.
We have until the end of the program for you to get it.
This is a good game. So I'm speaking to Owen Pallett on World Cafe. Island is the first new album from you in 6 years, but it narratively connects to an album that came out a decade ago. In your 2010 album, Heartland, you first introduced the character Lewis from a 14th century land called Spectrum. First, maybe, could you describe Spectrum for us? Like, what does it look like in your mind's eye?
Oh, I just picture Canada, but like Canada as if it was rendered with, in the sort of like the front first few pages of a fantasy novel, you know, but I kind of picture the same sort of landscapes, you know, cities to the east, plains in the middle, and then mountains to the west, you know.
Have you ever drawn a map of this place?
Of Spectrum?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did actually. Like I did. And because there was a part of me that, I don't know if you did, that had that time in your teens when you were kind of like into Dragonlance books or like David Eddings and stuff like that. But yeah, you look through these pages and you see the whole map and you know that at a certain point, the adventuring party is going to arrive at the, you know, the Isle of Winds down there in the corner, and they're going to meet the snake princess or something. So you know that like all corners of the map are going to be covered, and it's effectively its own kind of version of world building. So I was drawing these maps like a long time ago, but I actually realized that's not really what I wanted to do. I wanted to try and build the world in another way, which is why I made this EP, Spectrum 14th Century. And the songs on Spectrum 14th Century are meant to kind of almost be world building. They're songs from the world of Spectrum, but they're not song relating to the plot, just rather to kind of set the scene.
I'm speaking to Owen Pallett on World Cafe. So on the 2010 album, Heartland, the songs are Lewis speaking to his creator, who happens to be named Owen. And in that song we just heard, Fire Mare from Island, there's this lyric, Owen, are you there? What kind of freedom does writing yourself in as a character in a fantasy realm give you?
Oh, it's really, really fascinating to me. Because when I wrote Heartland, even though it was set in this fictional world, I felt like I was just laying it all out on the table, like in terms of autobiography. I thought there was so much of my personal life written into this story that I was like nervous. Like,
really?
Yeah. And I guess in retrospect, it's, you kind of wouldn't know it. Like I look back and I'm like, yeah, I don't know why I had that fear, but it still felt so truthful and representative of like my state of mind at the time and what I was, experiences I was having. But then the follow-up record, In Conflict, was inspired by, you know, a friendship with John Darnielle of the Mountain Goats, who is just supernaturally capable of taking tiny little incidents in his day-to-day life and turning them into song material. And I was like, man, I can do that. I want to try that. So that's what I was doing with In Conflict, was just thinking back to kind of like interesting things that had happened to me over the course of my life and turning them into songs. And they came out like lies. Like I listened to them, I'm like, but that's not what happened. It didn't turn out like that. Like it's just like the transference of a factual event into a lyric. There was just so much kind of broken telephone going on that the result actually felt false. So in a way, I find it much more comfortable writing within the fictional or metafictional kind of narrative, because I feel as if it's somehow more truthful. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's kind of hard to really describe. I'm sure that there's like books written about this that are taught in like first year lit. I haven't read, but yeah, I mean, I feel very comfortable working within fictional narratives. Yeah.
Could you describe Lewis for us? Maybe if say Lewis was going to be played by an actor, if this were all made into a movie, who would it be?
I don't know. And in fact, we've kind of, there had been some talks about when making music videos of having a literal representation of Lewis on screen. And I was never able to figure out who to cast. I don't think I can nail it down to any one person. He's definitely a template of like a number of different people in my life, including one of my brothers. And just like a bunch of kind of things that it's kind of a composite of all these, aspects of, you know, the way men are that I am not. Oh. Yeah. He's kind of meant to be this almost like masculine ideal about all the things that I just have never embodied. And that's kind of like where the inspiration came from. But yeah, I wouldn't know where to begin with casting him.
Well, we're going to listen to a performance of Lewis Takes Off His Shirt. It's from your 2010 album, Heartland. What can you tell us about this song before we hear it?
Well, this song is kind of one of the two extreme plot advancement kind of songs on Heartland. And this one, Lewis, who has kind of renounced his any sort of allegiance to his deity Owen, has decided that he's going to ride his horse Imelda across the plains of Belvedere and climb up Mount Alpentine and, you know, murder Owen. So he's as he's riding across the plains, he's kind of almost taunting Owen. You know, he feels as if he's been objectified. He feels like he's been used, and he's and at the same time, it is kind of meta narrative, because he's saying all this kind of stuff that I myself have written, like I, as you know, because me and the deity Owen are not the same Owen, but you know, obviously we share a name and professions. So yeah, that's kind of what this song is about. He's getting ready to murder a god.
Here it is. It's Owen Pallett. Lewis Takes Off His Shirt.
Toward the range, I'll ride singing. I'm never gonna. to the sea. I've been praised for all the ways the mob believes the man that was wrong to try and free him. And as for me, I'm a victor, I'm muscle, I'm bone. The sun upon my shoulders and the horse between my legs. This is all I know. Of the road, I concentrate to keep content the overflow. My knuckles grip so tightly, my fingers start to bleed. If what I have is what you need, I'm never gonna give it to you.
Recorded live for World Cafe. That was Owen Pallett with Lewis Takes Off His Shirt. I'm Raina Duras, joined by Owen Pallett today. I've talked to lots of musicians about their songwriting process. Some people, you know, keep voice memos. Some people need to be in a specific room of their house surrounded by inspiring objects. You have a really interesting method that I've never heard before when it comes to writing lyrics that involves a lot of internet tabs and setting alarms. Could you describe that method for us?
Yeah, I sure could. This is the, because I've always kind of had this, it's like, this is my secret, like, little bit of, like, tidbit of information that I give people as a special treat, you know, but, because it actually totally does work, but I've just decided, whatever, you know, I'll just tell people. Yeah, no, it totally works. It's like a foolproof method of getting those lyrics written, because lyrics for a lot of people are really, really hard. For me, they're not hard, but it's just because I do this thing, which is, you know, before bed, I just pick out a songwriter whose lyrics I really like, open up like 80 tabs of their lyrics just from song meetings or Genius or whatever, so that they're just all there. I disconnect my Wi-Fi, so in the morning, I'm not tempted to check my email. Close the laptop, go to bed, set the alarm for an hour earlier than I would normally wake up. So I wake up after a good 5-6 hours of sleep, still groggy, and I make a big pot of coffee. And I just start free writing. And so I typically will spend the first hour free writing, and something magical happens when the caffeine and the alpha waves that are still bouncing around your half asleep brain, and it just turns into this, you know, just rainbows of like bizarre stuff just starts coming out of your fingers. And then around and about the 1 hour mark, you start to lose steam. And that's, you spend the second hour and the third or fourth cup of coffee going back and editing the stuff that you've written before. And so it's just like the first part is just like free creativity, and the second part is a total, you know, just editing. And yeah, it's like I don't write lyrics on a daily basis. I'll take a year where I'm not writing anything. But you know, when it is time to get the lyrics done because you have to make the album, you just start doing this like 3-4 times a week and your album will have lyrics.
Is there an artist, a specific artist that you did that with that you can remember having an impact on this album on Island?
Well, I kind of almost don't want to give it away because then people start playing detective and stuff like this. But yeah, I kind of don't want to give it away.
That's okay. You don't have to. You already gave us your method, and I think that's pretty good.
I mean, my favorite active lyricist and one that I will absolutely cop to is Cass McCombs. I love Cass's lyrics. Like, I love them. I love them. And I have used his stuff as flip cards. Just when I'm running out of inspiration, I'll just read something, you know, and it'll kind of just trigger something like, oh, I know another way of saying a similar sentiment, or just a word he'll use will kind of like inspire me to do something else. The whole kind of concept of Lewis, the way Island ends with Lewis floating in space, saying that, let me be your anchorite. That was a lyrical seed from Mountain Goats, John Darnielle. He was just telling me, hey, have you read about this? And showed me this thing that happens in Catholicism where they lock somebody in a cell and feed them, and they are not allowed to do anything except pray and eat. And that's what they do. And they're called anchorites. And apparently they're given, you know, divine insights into the world and people's lives. And that was an image that, you know, wasn't taken from a flashcard, but was definitely put in my head by John's inspiration.
I'm speaking to Owen Pallett on World Cafe. You've done a ton of collaborating. I'm just going to rattle off a few things here. You've done string arrangements for Haim, The National, Frank Ocean. Your work on Arcade Fire's The Suburbs scored you a Grammy. You got nominated for an Oscar for the music for the film Her. You've also won an Emmy. You could be, and maybe, I'm going to put my money on you, the first Canadian musician who will ever score an EGOT and get all four one day. It could happen.
I don't know, man. I really kind of just lucked into the ones that I've got so far. Like, you know, it's not even like I'm a full-time member of Arcade Fire and that Emmy just kind of came out of nowhere. But, you know, keeping my fingers crossed, I got to do more films. It's, you know, there aren't a lot of people who've won Oscars for film composing. Like, you know, I don't know. It would be nice, but that's not... Like those are kind of like little bonuses, you know, it's like end of level bonuses in video games when something like that happens.
Yeah. I mean, it all sounds glamorous, right? But you've also said that being a freelance musician is as glamorous as working in a restaurant sometimes. And I was looking through, you know, the
less
names.
Less glamorous.
Is it? Why is it less glamorous?
I liken it to being a plumber, you know, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, it's very, very solitary. And I don't think that people really understand just how solitary, working, especially as a solo artist or working in an arrangement capacity. Not just solitary, you can't put on podcasts when you're working on music. You can't have music playing in the background. You've got to be in a completely kind of, stimulus-free environment in order to focus on getting stuff done. So yeah, yeah. I'll go months at a time without actually listening to anybody else's music except my own or my clients or whatever I'm working on. And it can be very isolating.
One of the maybe most glamorous names on your resume is Taylor Swift. And you did these string arrangements on the song The Last Time from her album Red. So maybe you could, using that one as an example, like what is that process like? It's not glamorous, like you said, but what do you actually, how does that work?
Well, sometimes it's glamorous. Well, with Taylor, I never met the woman. I had a working relationship with the producer on that track, Jackknife Lee. And Jackknife was oftentimes calling me to do string arrangements or orchestral arrangements or brass arrangements or whatever on tracks he was working on. So That song in particular, The Last Time, was one that he had been working on, and he called me up and asked for an arrangement on it. At the time, I was also doing stuff with Robbie Williams, and so the sessions were all done at the same time in Columbia in LA. I conducted them. Actually, the most glamorous part of that did not involve Taylor Swift, but involved Robbie Williams, of all people.
Really?
Well, yeah, he was singing an old Take That song that I can't remember the name of, but it's like seven letters, three words, one meaning or something is the name of the song. And he was doing a kind of a special orchestral, you know, version as a tribute to one of the other members of Take That. It was kind of like a little gift to him. And, but yeah, he was singing into Frank Sinatra's mic and I was conducting in the room Frank Sinatra was recording. And it was, that was pretty glamorous.
That's very
Robbie
cool.
Williams bringing the glamour. Who would have thought?
We're going to find that track and I'm going to play a clip of it right here.
And when I went away, what I forgot to say was all I had to say. Eight letters, three words, one meaning.
So that was a bit of the Robbie Williams track that Owen Pallett worked on. I'm talking to Owen Pallett on World Cafe. Another recent project you did, you scored the new documentary Spaceship Earth about Biosphere 2, where a bunch of people attempted to live basically quarantined inside a dome back in the early 90s. You scored fictional movies like Her. But does your approach change at all when you're scoring something nonfiction? Like when you're soundtracking things that actually happened in real life, do you think of it any differently?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. When you're working on documentaries, you have to be respectful of the subject. You have to, because you're dealing with people's real lives, you know? And I mean, it's something I'm sure that the documentary filmmakers themselves grapple with, is that you, even though you are creating a work of art, somebody's real life is wrapped up in this, and you have to honor that. I can't really describe it, but it's just kind of something subconscious that, you know, I would never do anything musically that would subvert the cause or the message of the subject of a documentary. Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking to Owen Pallett on World Cafe today. Their new album, Island, is out now. Island takes place in a fantasy world called Spectrum. Spectrum has been showing up in your work for a while, and the last song we are going to hear you perform today is from your 2008 EP, Spectrum 14th Century. And when you listen to the lyrics of the song, The Butcher, right now, they might feel maybe unfortunately timely. Why did you choose to perform this one for us?
I actually performed this one just because people requested a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, the EP is kind of a little obscure at this point. We're reissuing it. It's coming out on vinyl again, just later this year. But yeah, this EP was meant to kind of be a world setting for the future Spectrum related releases, which were Heartland and Island. And, you know, there might be some more in the future, hopefully. But this song was just kind of meant to, you know, portray a bit of a vengeful god, the god Owen, and also a reluctant kind of like creator, you know, cognizant of his capacity to create and also his capacity to destroy, you know.
It also has one of those Owen Pallett Easter eggs that I love so much. Shout out to All Your Bases Belong to Us in their little Zero Wing early internet meme lyric.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes the nerd just really jumps out, you know. Hang out with me long enough and you'll be disgusted.
Let's hear it. The Butcher. It's Owen Pallett of World Cafe.
Century in accord with prophecy. Are all your fears, your fire, your family written within the book of butchery? My appetite is endless, the people defenseless. This land is big, this land is bigger, but never as big as the mouth of a singer. No. Every send a confessional. I don't give a about the bulk of it, still I keep it professional. And as penance I tell him to proselytize. Say the sun is red, say that I'm red, say all your bases belong to us. End of doomsday, the end of the century, in accord with prophecy. Go all your fear, defy your family, into the mouth of final fantasy. Bishops will kneel at their altars and sing. Remove their coils, their rings, their jewels. Lay them all down in sacrifice. What if things were things? What is this thing? Have a temper as shiny as any bling. And all this attention will gain you no favor in paradise. End of doomsday, the end of the century. In accord with prophecy, go all you fear, your fire, your family, into the mouth of final fantasy.
Owen Pallett with a live performance of The Butcher, recorded exclusively for World Cafe. Owen's latest album, Island, is out now. Owen's been my guest today. Before I let you go, I think I have a guess for the big, huge male pop star you were talking about.
Okay.
Is it Harry Styles?
No, bigger than that.
Bigger than Harry Styles?
Yeah, and you've run out of guesses, so you'll just have to wait till the album comes out and you'll be like, oh, of course.
I'm going to be kicking myself so hard when that happens. Well,
what you're
going to
do is you're going to send me an email to like at 4 a.m. this tomorrow morning. You're going to be like, oh my God, it's, and then you'll tell me who it is and you'll be right.
All right. Well, I tried. Thank you so much. I really, really loved talking to you today.
Thank you, Raina. It was so great talking to you too.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.